Well, thanks, Pastor Brett. Man, I am just so excited still to have Brett and Elise as pastors and part of our church family.
Yeah, and really family is what it's really about, what we're going to be focusing on today. And we're just wrapping up the series, Raising Healthy Kids in a Crazy World. And I've really enjoyed the series a lot. It's been really great. Today, the sermon is Three Things Every Family Needs. And without these three things, no family works.
Yeah, it's going to be so important. So for everybody, this sermon's for you. It's definitely for parents, but we've all got family, and all of us are working through the broken parts of family. So if you will understand the three things that you need to make family work, this can change your life. So I'm so excited we're doing this. The first of our messages in this series, I gave you a biblical overview about how family is everything that God is doing. And since God is all about family, whether it's through blood or by spirit, since God is all about family, then Satan is all about attacking family and breaking it so that it doesn't accomplish what God wants it to accomplish in our lives and for other people. So this is so important. Now, of course, we're online and we're so glad that you're with us. And honestly, I think hearing this message as you're in your home is the best way to do this, because this is where God's grace and mercy has to work out in your life. It's got to be in your home with your family. If you're not listening to this at home, think about either the family you have or the family you came from, because God is not finished in the grace and the goodness of what He wants to do. And as we're going to talk about, especially the people you feel like are unforgivable, this is a sermon to ask God to start something new there. So since you're home, I want you to look around. What is something in your home that just makes your family work better? Something that's in your home that just kind of is a favorite part of you being a family. What does your family have that makes your family work? For me, I'm the oldest of five, and growing up, it was our station wagon. Our station wagon, seven people fit in that tank, all right? And it had the classic back seat that faced the car behind you, so at every stoplight, there was this awkward moment of looking at the driver who was literally like 2 feet away from you. I mean, we played in that car, we slept in that car, our parents forgot us at night in that car. We called it the Station Dragon, all right? And we loved our Station Dragon, man. That definitely, that thing made our family work. How about for you?
Yeah, mine doesn't sound nearly as exciting, but for me, growing up, I think it would be the kitchen table. We always had dinner together as a family. We kind of had our assigned seats, or everybody knew where they sat. And, and I think for our family, as we had our children, it was, I would say, the table as well. Not only at meal times, but that's where we play games and just, welcome other people in, hosting and everything. So definitely for me, that would be the kitchen table.
So I don't know what it is for you. If you're with your family right now, maybe go around and get some ideas. What is it that your family has that makes your family work and is kind of an important part of your family? Okay, today's sermon, you've got to have these three things as a family. Because if you don't have these three things, life is not going to work. Family's not going to work. Here they are. The three things every family needs. This is how God made family. Every family has to have faith, has to have forgiveness, and has to have focus. Faith, forgiveness, and focus. Let me break that down for a moment. We'll talk about a lot in the rest of the message. Every family has to have faith that God brought it together, and faith in who God has created other family members to be. Not how they're acting right now, but faith that God has made this person to be more than they are right now. That's first. Two, every family's got to have forgiveness. There's no such thing as a family working without forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Because forgiveness is what helps us help other people in our family not stay trapped in failure and in brokenness. Got to have forgiveness. And number three, every family has to have focus. on who Jesus is and what Jesus has promised. Because when you're really doing family the right way, there are going to be stretches and sometimes long stretches where family are not providing you with what you need while you're trying to give to family what it needs. And in those times, you've got to stay focused on who Jesus is, mm-hmm. what he has promised you, and what he's doing in your life. Mm-hmm. There is not a family alive, either by blood or in the spirit, a church family, a group of close friends, people on mission together. There's no such thing as a family that works if it doesn't have faith, if it doesn't have forgiveness, and if it doesn't have focus. And that's why we're going to look at Luke 15 and the parable of the prodigal son. This story is about family. And as Sarah reads it, and then I'll comment, we'll kind of talk back and forth, I want you to listen for faith, for forgiveness, and for focus. And maybe your little one is with you, and just listen to this, because this is a story about family. And also, think about, no matter if you're a parent, no matter if you are, you know, whether you're single or out of the house, whatever it is, God wants to work family in you, through you, and for you. So listen for these three things as we read this parable.
All right, starting verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable.
Okay, this is the reason why we're going to hear the story of the prodigal son. Because Jesus is around some people who say they know him, say they know God, but they have decided there's some people they don't have to forgive. A matter of fact, they're unforgivable, and it's not possible for them to be forgiven. Tax collectors, right? Mm-hmm. And sinners is a category in society of people, and everybody thought, these people are beyond hope. They're unforgivable. We don't need to forgive them. Mm-hmm. So Jesus starts this story right there. Obviously, there's usually somebody in our family who's done something that doesn't seem like forgiveness is ever going to really work. Yeah. And sometimes we even go decades without it working. And yet Jesus is telling us this story, say, hey, don't think that way. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to share this parable starting in verse 11.
There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them.
All right, so this is not a religious story. This is a story about a family that has broken. It's lost its faith in one another and that God put it together for one another. It's going to need a lot of forgiveness, and it's lost its focus. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing about this story is the son is basically saying, "I want your stuff, but I don't want you."
Yeah.
And what's interesting, in ancient culture, the father had all the power, including to beat or even kill his children. Mm. So the father has the ability to discipline him, to reject his request. Yeah. But the father, and I'm sure, gave him counsel, tried to talk him out of it. But here's the thing, the father let him make a choice. Mm-hmm. Gave him the counsel, tried to convince him not to do it. But the father let him make a choice and still had faith. Instead of responding harshly, he still had faith that his son would be his son one day.
Mm. I love that. And then we go on to verse 13. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'"
Yeah, wow. All right, we'll stop here for one moment. this is not just a story, this is a biblical principle. I would say it's a biblical fact. When we operate outside of the plan for family in our lives that God has for us, we always end up in famine. Mm-hmm. We always end up in need. And notice what the son does with this. He does what we all do. I'll just make it work on my own. I'll find my own way in the world. And yet this is the opposite of a family that has faith, forgiveness, and focus. And notice what the son says. I mean, the son gets ready his dad, I'm in trouble speech, and I got to talk to you. Now, remember, well, you probably never got in trouble as a kid, but I remember as a teenager having to like, I've got to talk to my parents now, and I got to get my speech ready because this is not going to go well. And one of the key things that he says is, I am not worthy to be your son. So there's something about what it means to, there's something you got to earn. There's something you got to prove to be a family member. And we're going to see that God's heart and this father's heart has none of that in it.
So we're continuing with verse 20. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate.
Wow. All of a sudden, Jesus is starting to show everybody, this is what family does.
Yeah.
Okay. Notice in verse 21, the son repeats the line, I haven't earned the right to be a family member. I haven't performed. I haven't done what qualifies family. He's got this whole jacked up idea of what family is about. But I think probably the most powerful sentence in this whole story is right here in verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, while he was a long way from being who he should be. He was a long way from making everything right. He was a long way from contributing and bringing peace and joy back to the family. He was a long way off, but in a family, the father was ready to bring him in. The father was like, no, in this family, I have faith in who God has brought us together to be. I have faith in who you will be. I have forgiveness for who you are. And I have focus in trusting the one that is going to make this all work. And it says that the father has compassion on his son.
Yeah, I love that. And really, when we think about compassion, it literally means to suffer together. Mm. And I was just reading about some researchers and what they talk about with compassion. They say it's defined as the feeling that arises when you're confronted with another's suffering and feel motivated to relieve that suffering.
Wow. So to suffer together, to suffer with someone, that's compassion. Yeah. And I think that's the key of what family's supposed to be, but Satan and this world have twisted so much. Mm-hmm. A family is a place where we suffer with people through their transformation process. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we live in a world that's all self-centered. So family now is all about me, right? Mm-hmm. But the truth is, family is supposed to be about the faith, forgiveness, and focus we give to others. I remember Caleb was like 3 or 4 years old and wanted to play baseball. He went into the garage, got a glove, put it on, and it was backwards. I mean, that bad boy was not catching anything. And I think, I thought, you know, boy, that's how some people see family. They've got it on backwards. Mm-hmm. We trust Jesus and who he is and who he's promised to be to us so that God is giving to us what we need while sometimes the family is not. But what we do is we still offer faith and forgiveness and focus. We've talked about the kind of probably a key image of what, how people should think of family.
Right, like as a cocoon, really, going from the caterpillar to the butterfly.
Yeah, I mean, this is what family is. Mm-hmm. Now, my apologies for all you garden lovers who love caterpillars. I think caterpillars are ugly, okay? And it's just like, but that cocoon is there to take them and transform them into something beautiful,
yeah.
Right? And that's what family is about. That's why we've got to have faith. God, you brought us together as a family. God, I have faith in who you've made this other family be. They're looking more like a caterpillar than a butterfly right now. And a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever seen them yet be a butterfly. But that's why this family is here. We're a cocoon around them. We're going to have to keep offering forgiveness, and we're going to have to stay focused on the one who can make this transformation happen. And what we're going to see in this story, and we'll skip a few verses to verse 28, the older son, that's exactly the opposite of what he thinks of family too. He thinks it's not a cocoon. He thinks it's a job site.
Yeah.
And let's just pay attention to that, because here the father again is trying to help even the older son understand what family's about.
Okay. In verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours."
Yeah, and then says, you know, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. This brother of yours, this family member, he was lost and is found. So here's the older brother, and he's definitely, I mean, listen to how he talks. He's not talking about faith, forgiveness, and focus on what God can do. He's all about earning and deserving. His deal is like, "Dad, this son has been an absolute caterpillar. Like, I've been a butterfly the whole time for us. Like, I came in, I know that as a family, I got to come in beautiful. And because that's the only way this works. Then I get what I deserve." And listen to what the son says. The father says, he's like, "You are always with me. Everything I have is yours. You don't earn any of that. This isn't a job site. And this is a cocoon. This is a healing, transformational place. And it's a place of faith, forgiveness, and for focus for those who are inside. Now, this is what the world has forgotten. A lot of times it's what we forget. Parents, you got to remember, it's like your job is helping caterpillars become butterflies. And every family member, here's an older brother. He's not a parent. He's a brother. And it's like, hey, your brother, this is, have faith in who this person is, that God brought you together and who they can be. Bring forgiveness, because what is lost is found. And now let's focus. Let's focus on what God can do, what can happen next. So here we are. And I think this is the word of God for so many of us. Because I always say, like, the word family and the word crazy, they're just synonyms, right? There's always some crazy in family. That's just how it goes. There's always a relationship to that stuff. There's always a relationship somewhere in family that we're super tempted to go older brother on and forget about faith, forgiveness, and focus. And so I just want us, we're going to pray in a minute, but I want us to think about a few things. First of all, hey, in that place that's pretty painful and you feel like you can't forgive that particular person, remember, family requires faith. Faith that God is not done. Faith that the Father can start something new if we'll follow the Father's lead. So I want you to hear that this morning. Forgiveness. We'll talk about this in a minute. It's not that anything goes in the family. It's that we can let go of demanding that people are butterflies when they're in a caterpillar stage, all right? Forgiveness is a decision that you make in faith and in focus multiple times. And sometimes, and you're waiting for God to turn it from a decision to just a natural reality in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take time. And then focus. Family doesn't work if you're not focused on Jesus and what he has promised to do. Because to get from the caterpillar to the butterfly, you're going to have some compassion. You're going to have to suffer some with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9, I want you to hear this passage. And I'm just asking you to open up your spirit and your mind and let God say this about your family.
Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name.
Paul says, I need you to have a certain attitude when you're with your spiritual family, because he's talking to a church, but this applies to the family of origin and the family you've created. This has got to be your attitude. You've got to look into the interests of others, not their selfishness, not their sin, but for God's plan for their life. So in other words, you're going to have faith that of who God will make this person. You're going to have to give up some of your rights. That next verse, you know, verse 6, you know, Jesus was, he had the rights of God, but he didn't use them to his advantage. He didn't grasp on them. He said, you know what? I'm going to have to become a servant. Faith, forgiveness, and focus. Provide those three things to your family members. Whether they receive them well or not, serve them that way. It will cost you. There'll be some compassion. You're going to suffer with them, even death to a cross. But it then says, therefore, God exalted him. Resurrection happened.
Mm-hmm.
The caterpillar went to the butterfly. And now everybody's praising God and declaring who Jesus is. Look, this is possible. And so I think what we want to do is we just want to pray and say, all right, Lord, help me. I think this Philippians passage reminds us, I think most of us would say about a family member who's really hurt us, it's like, you don't know what they did to me. And I think Jesus is saying, hey, you don't know what I've done for you. I can turn your famine into a banquet. I can turn your suffering into victory. If you'll humble yourself and serve with me, I'll raise you up again. And you had a psalm that I thought you just mentioned right before we were doing this today. That the Lord gave you, and I thought you could read that, and then we can just finish up in prayer.
Yeah, it's Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Yeah. So whether you're the family member who knows what they've done and it's time to go back, it starts with asking forgiveness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bottle it up. You know, it's not uncommon for someone to have a 10-year rift with someone, a decades long. And it's like, hey, Luke 15, 1 and 2, Jesus is saying to religious people, there can be forgiveness to people that you don't think you belong with anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just want to finish in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that grace comes from family. And Lord, whether they're parents, whether there's friends, whether it's a son or daughter, a brother or sister, Lord, we pray now. Restore our faith in what you have done to bring our family together.
Yes.
Help us to see others in eyes of faith. We pray for forgiveness, Lord, first of all. Help us acknowledge our sin and get free from what has been in our hearts. And then let us offer forgiveness to another. And finally, Lord, help us to focus on you. When we don't get what we need from others, when we've got to humble ourselves, when we want to grasp onto our rights, Lord, we just pray, keep our focus on you, and that you have promised that if we die with you, we will live again with you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Would you finish by taking a step? Reach out online right now. You've got an online host who can help you with your decision to come to Christ today and have forgiveness and work that out if you need someone to talk to. As well as, we cannot wait. We're starting No One Walks Alone this next week. And we want you to come and be a part, so you can just sign up to get more information about that. God bless you. And today, let family be about faith, forgiveness, and focus.